Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 352 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny baseball today. In a little while, I'll be visiting with two of the Hawks' top players. But right now, my first guest is the longtime head coach of the team. He has guided the Hawks to a 6-14 record this season, including a 2-7 mark in the CIML Conference. He's Joe Balvans. Joe, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you do have a young team this season. You have a freshman and some sophomores that are playing key roles, and you obviously got off to a rough start. But you did turn things around last week with a pair of doubleheader sweeps. You guys went over to Waukee Northwest last month and got a sweep against the 9th-ranked Wolves, and then got another sweep Friday up there at Ames. So you have to feel better about, you know, where you guys are at right now than you did a week ago.
I do. You're correct. I have a young roster there, some guys who are inexperienced at the varsity level, and they are learning on the job. And even today at practice, we hit out on the field and worked on situational hitting. The wind was blowing in. Worked on hitting the ball on a line, and they're willing to buy in and do what we ask of them, but it's not something that you're going to immediately just get great at. So it does take some time to get guys seasoned enough to, when you recognize those situations in game, to be able to execute. And we have been at times, we've been getting better pitching during those. We won 5 out of 6. We went over to Indianola and played a 16-inning ball game and really played tough. Indianola is a very well-coached and athletic team. To go 16 innings with them toe-to-toe, wiggle out of some defensive situations and extra innings there, and to have three guys throw 16 innings and look really sharp the whole time, I felt encouraged. They were gassed that Carlisle game after the 16 innings on the turf. So kind of flushed that one, came back and played really well at Waukee Northwest. Probably the best I've ever seen Hunter Minner throw the baseball. He threw it well last night, too, against a very good Valley team. But he is getting better and is learning to trust himself out there and trust his stuff and execute his pitches with confidence. And he knows that he has my trust out there as well to, when he takes the baseball. Even last night, I think it was 1-0 when he came out in the fifth. And the top four of that Valley lineup is a problem. Those guys can swing the bat.
Well, yeah, your winning streak did come to an end last night with a 6-0 loss. The Tigers got a pair of home runs from Colton Remick, another from Aiden Plum, and Trent Grevengode tossed a three-hitter and had 11 strikeouts. And I know you were really impressed with their team, weren't you?
Yeah, and another Grevengode brother. That's a series of several. All of those boys are really good high school baseball players. Grevengode got better as that game went on. We had some opportunities early to score. Runners on third base with less than two outs, and we again didn't execute in the situational. That could have been a 2-1 ball game or a 1-1 ball game for a while there before Hunter came out. We just couldn't crack the scoreboard, and he got stronger as that game went on. Really sharp breaking ball, and when he started spotting his fastball, he let a couple go that were upper 80s, probably flirting with a 9 in the first digit on that radar gun. And if you think about that Valley team, they've got Stedman, they've got him. There's another one that I'm not thinking of, and the Gosselin kid from the left side got hurt. That would be, if that were healthy, that would be a tremendous pitching staff at the 4A level and would be very challenging to deal with in the postseason. So I think that's a really good team, especially the top half of their lineup and what they can do out on the mound, and they were very sound defensively. Coach Hawkins and Coach Barnes have a nice team there. I think they're going to be set up well for postseason. They're going to be a problem whoever gets them in their sub-state.
Well, that's the kind of team that you see night in and night out in your conference. The Tigers are just one game out of first place now, and there's a total of six teams, just within 2.5 games of the conference lead. There doesn't appear to be a dominant team in the league this year, but it seems like the conference is as deep as ever, isn't it?
It's a lot of parity in this league. If you look at Coach Dirks' team, Waukee, there's a lot of talent on that team between the Meeker kid and the DeJesus. The Anderson kid, I believe, is going to Texas, a left-handed arm. We saw him earlier in the year. Every night you go, it's a challenge. And people ask me all the time, like, why do you schedule PV? We're going to play Sioux City East on Saturday. And yeah, I could give them a breather, but during the week, it is challenging baseball, and you got to be ready night in, night out to step in that box and compete, to execute and be routine on defense and fill up that strike zone and sprint the two strikes when you're on the mound. Because at any time, even Urbandale, I was really impressed when we went over to Urbandale. Their shortstop is a tremendous player. Their guys swing it well. They filled up the strike zone and they play good defense. Top to bottom, there isn't an easy night in our conference. And you have to be ready to play between the ears and physically every single day.
Well, despite the loss last night, you guys did have some bright spots. You mentioned your starting pitcher, Hunter Minner. He had a good outing, and we'll be talking to him here shortly. He allowed just 2 earned runs on 5 hits. He had 5 strikeouts over 5 innings. And that outing followed the one at the Northwest, where he had 5 shutout innings and a 1-0 win. He really seems to be in a nice groove right now.
Yeah, Hunter has tremendous stuff. If you were to sit back there in a bullpen, he is an uncomfortable at bat when you are in the batter's box against him. And with his ability to spin the slider, and he has a really good changeup and mixes in a four seam and a two seam fastball, he has the ability to keep hitters off balance. And I sequenced him for a little while last night, and he kind of found his own groove. And I with the or we had a different catcher back there that had caught him in the past, and I just kind of went to him. I was like, "Hey, why don't you sequence yourself for a little bit?" And I was really impressed with his, third time through the order, he kind of went a little different approach, threw Stedman a really good slider to strike him out, and he's been with us since he's a freshman. We kind of picked his moments when he was a freshman sophomore, so he could find success. And then as a junior, I just see so much more maturity out of him and an ability to be a leader out there on the mound. And our guys know that we're probably not going to have to score 9 runs with Hunter on the mound out there tonight. If we can get to 4, we can get it above a grand slam, get it to 5, we got a shot tonight. And that's, confidence and belief is an amazing thing for a high school baseball team.
Your team also got a pair of hits from your leadoff batter, Quinn Summers, who is one of the guys who didn't join the team full time until after the track season. And I know it's taken a while for you to get him into the lineup, but with his speed and athleticism, he's a guy that can help you, isn't he?
Absolutely. And his older brother played for us on some state tournament teams, and he is a very athletic kid. We're still working on some stuff, but he goes up there and battles at the plate. And you can tell he's just a sophomore. Sometimes the at bats don't exactly look the way it should, but when he's that young and he's that athletic, he does a really good job of battling, fighting off 2-strike pitches, doesn't strike out a ton. And when he puts the ball in play, you better get rid of it because he's getting down that first baseline. And he also has the ability to hit the ball hard in the gaps. And if he puts it down in the gap, he's on second, maybe looking for 3, because he runs very well.
Well, speaking of doubles, he also got a double last night from Ryan Willie, and that was his 3rd straight game with a double. And I know you've told me before that he's probably the best defensive first baseman that you've had since Weston Folk, but it seems like he's really coming on at the plate now, too.
Yeah, Ryan's been working really hard on his swing and his approach. And I do his my favorite swings that he takes are when he hits those doubles to the right center gap. And it will come for him, the pull side stuff. But we've just making just some little tweaks to the load and to getting his hands going. And boy, when he gets it there, that baseball jumps off his barrel. He has some long levers to work with. He has fast hands. And yeah, when we get, as he continues to work on that swing, I do see a tremendous amount of potential for him as he finishes up his junior year, moving into a senior year. He's a good player.
Well, also wanted to ask you about the other guy sitting here with us that we'll be talking to shortly, and that's senior Easton Lowe. I know he's gotten banged up a couple of times this season, and he didn't play last night. But you know, he's been a fixture in your lineup from day one, and you know, he's a guy that you're going to need down the stretch, isn't he?
We will. Easton plays the game hard, and if there's a compliment I could give somebody, it's probably the highest compliment I can get. When he steps between the lines, I know what I'm going to get with him. He is a competitor. He values every at-bat that he gets up there, and he holds himself to a pretty high standard. He expects to be successful, but he also does a tremendous job. He's one of the best defensive outfielders I've ever coached. He played a lot of right field last year. Not only does he have a strong throwing arm, but he has an accurate throwing arm that I'd have to go back and look at his career outfield assists. But he is, when he patrols out there, I don't have too many worries that the ball's gonna hit the ground. He is kind of our stable guy out there that goes and gets everything over the head, in front, left, right. You know he's not going to take a pitch off and play every pitch, every inning, every out he's out there to the best of his ability.
When you look at your team, Coach, you've used 15 different pitchers this season, and I know you've told me before that you've got plenty of arms to get through a grueling schedule. This is a week that will certainly challenge your team, and we'll talk about the upcoming games here in a minute. But it's been an offense where, you know, where the team has had most of its struggles this season. You guys are hitting .219 as a team. I think you're averaging a little more than six hits a game. But when you don't hit for a lot of power, you know, that makes it tough to score runs at times, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We have been working on our ability to run the bases a little bit. The biggest thing is our situational hitting. We've left a lot of runners in scoring position just striking out as opposed to putting the ball in play. Hitting a ground ball at shortstop, hitting a ball at second base, lifting a fly ball, taking a sacrifice fly. All things that we worked extensively on this morning in BP. We worked out from like 9:30 to 11:30 as the JV guys were over at Dowling. It's something that you have to get comfortable being in an uncomfortable situation, getting weathered enough to slow your heart rate down, recognize the situation, say, hey, I don't have to hit a double here. You know, a hard ground ball in play tacks one on for the team, selfless at bat, take my RBI and move the chain, see if we can get to five runs, get it above where a grand slam can beat you. I think there's a stat out there that seven runs a game wins you over 65% of your high school baseball games if you can do that. You know, at times we look offensively like we can do that. And then, you know, you see last night, we see an arm like Grevengood and we haven't quite been able to execute when the pitching is that high of caliber, but they are working on it. They are working towards it. And I do think that, you know, we've got half a season left to go here. And I've seen tremendous growth from the start of the season when we opened up with North Polk and Pleasant Valley to where we're at now. They're looking more comfortable in the box. They're communicating better as a team. And they are starting to come together. And you see, you don't go over to Waukee Northwest and sweep if you aren't showing improvement every single day. That's a hard place to play.
Well, let's talk about the rest of this week now. You guys will host a doubleheader against Johnson on Wednesday. That's a team that you lost to 9-2 earlier this season. Now, the Dragons have been a perennial power over the last decade, but they've kind of come back to the pack a little bit this season. They're currently 6-5 in the conference right now, and they're looking up at Valley, as well as the co-leaders, Urbandale and Waukee, who are both 8-3. And like you mentioned, you guys will then host a single game against the Warriors on Thursday. You know, and that's a team that swept you earlier. Now, you've seen all the top teams in the conference, and you kind of talked about them a little bit there earlier, but, you know, who do you think might emerge as the conference champ, or is it too early to tell?
I think it is probably too early to tell. If Waukee plays well, they're really good. That Johnson team, don't sleep on them. They play a bunch of seniors, and they have some very talented juniors in it. When in our JV doubleheader that we played over there, the JV team hit like two or three home runs in a JV game, something you don't see very often. So I wouldn't sleep on them. They get things clicking. They've got a talented roster. And I know Coach Barta isn't there anymore, but a lot of his staff stayed on. And they know how to succeed, especially in the postseason. They have a reputation for that. I think that conference is probably anybody's ball game, and who knows, it looks like we could get some more weather this week and games get jammed up and that messes with pitching plans. I would say to say that there is a favorite the way those standings look right now, it would be tough to say. We're going to have to see how the games play out.
Sure. Well, then on Saturday, like you mentioned, you guys will travel to Council Bluffs for a couple of games, and that's going to be a huge challenge as well. You'll face Sioux City East, the number one team in 4A with a 22-1 record, and then you'll see Lewis Central, which isn't ranked, despite a 17-2 mark. And I know there have been times in the past when the teams out west couldn't compete with the CIML, but you know that doesn't seem to be the case this year.
The Sioux City East roster is very talented. We went over and played them last year, and we played them tough. The shortstop Cal Jepson is a D1 dude. He has every play up the middle and swings it well. Elite speed. He's one of the best middle infielders in the state, in my opinion. And then they have a cleanup hitter. His last name escapes me at the moment, that can really drive the ball. It is an athletic offense. Coach Miller, Trevor Miller, does an excellent job with them up there. And they are the class of the west side of the state when it comes to baseball, and they have been for several years now. They've got nice facilities. They just built a brand new indoor that they got right next to their field. Baseball is highly valued there and supported at Sioux City East. It's a good program, and Coach Miller's got a good thing going. He should be proud of how he's got that. And him and I have known each other for a long time. We're going over there Saturday. He called me in the early fall, was like, hey, we're going to do this triangular with Lewis Central and us. We'd love for you to come over. And I'm not one to say no very often if you invite me out and it fits in the schedule. So I was honored to be asked that they wanted the Hawks to come out, and we're going to go do our best to compete against the best.
Well, after this week, if you guys get all those games in, it'll be about two-thirds of the way through the season. There will be just 3 weeks left before the postseason starts. Now, with the record you currently have, you're obviously not going to get a high seed for sub-state play, and you're probably going to get a tough draw. But I'm sure the goal is just to keep getting better, try to be peaking in a few weeks, see if this team can put it all together when it matters, right?
It's kind of what we talked about this morning. Last night's game, you're going to see an arm like that in postseason play. Hunter's probably going to be on the mound in a first-round game, and we're going to have to figure out a way to scratch out enough runs to support that offensively, play routine defense, and run the bases with intelligent aggression to beat probably a team that's seeded higher than us. And I've seen it in the past. We've seen some big upsets in the past. This is a talented Ankeny Hawk roster. We've got to get better at our bunt game. We got to get better at situational hitting. And we just got to cut our strikeouts down a little bit on the pitching side of things. We got to cut down the walks and the HBP's free passes. My college coach, John Sirianni, used to say, Joe, it always just takes three bad things for the opponent to score a run. And if you can limit those, you can survive a hit. You can survive a walk. But if you pair a walk and a hit and an HBP and then a ball's in play, then they're going to score. So, if we can limit that damage defensively and on the mound, and we can get better in situations where we can score runs selflessly. And who knows, maybe they'll get hot. We found some barrels at Ames that I hadn't seen in a while, and we had some timely hits at Waukee Northwest in clutch situations, and sometimes that's all it takes. You get a free base runner, you get them in scoring position, and somebody hits a line drive in the gap, and before you know it, you kind of got them on their heels. And that's how we have to play. We have to be scrappy. We have to be gritty. Got to play hard every pitch.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks for your time, Dan.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, joining me now are two of the leaders for the Hawks. To my left is a senior outfielder who leads the Hawks with a .385 average. He has two doubles, two triples, and five RBIs in 16 games, and he'll play for Northeast Iowa Community College next year. He is Easton Lowe. Easton, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You bet. And to my right is a junior pitcher for the Hawks. He has compiled a 2-4 record with a 4.06 ERA, and he has racked up 25 strikeouts in 20 2/3 innings. He's verbally committed to play for Indiana State. He is Hunter Minner. Hunter, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks, Adam.
Hey, you bet. I wanted to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Easton, let's start with you. You came into the season as one of the more experienced guys on the team. You know, what kind of expectations did you have? Did you think with the number of young and inexperienced guys in the lineup that there would be some growing pains?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we knew what we had. We played DCG in a scrimmage, and we did really well hitting-wise. So, you know, I thought we'd come out swinging well. But obviously, from a scrimmage and then actually, like, playing, you know, there's pressure when you play in the CML and 4A. And I think now some guys are, like, getting past that point and figuring out a little bit.
And Hunter, what about you? You know, you came into the season with a couple of years of varsity experience under your belt, like Coach mentioned. Did you feel like, you know, it's time for you to step up and become one of the leaders of the team?
Yeah, it certainly felt like that was an expectation of myself, just based off of my own beliefs and just providing a leader from a standpoint on the mound to my teammates.
Well, we talked about the rough start that you guys had, but it seemed like, you know, a big turning point came on June 6th when you guys went down to Indianola for a couple of games, and you began the day with a 9-3 win over a second-ranked Indianola team that was previously unbeaten. The game went to extra innings, and you guys eventually scored six runs in the 16th, you know, inning to break a 3-3 tie. Easton, you went 2-for-6 and had an RBI in the win. What do you think that win did for the team's confidence?
It did a lot. It showed that we can compete with the best teams in the state, and it was probably, it's going to be the biggest turning point of the season if we can keep riding that momentum. Obviously, we dropped one to a good value team last night, but we'll look to bounce back tomorrow night against Johnson.
And Hunter, you guys got some great pitching in that game against Indianola. Starter Braden Kern went 7 innings and kept you in the game until you guys had a late rally to tie it up. Jackson Malloy came in and he tossed a 6 1/3 scoreless innings before Logan Wildebauer came in and closed it out over the final 2 2/3 innings. And I know Coach Ballvans told me that, you know, that was the longest game he's ever been a part of. Have you ever played in one like that? Did you ever wonder if it was going to end?
No, I have not played in the game that long, but it was definitely fun to watch. I wouldn't trade that out for a normal game. That was a blast.
Well, like your coach mentioned, your team then lost to Carlisle later in the day when you guys, you know, were understandably gassed. But you then came back last Monday with the first game, you know, of a doubleheader at Northwest where you won 1-0. Hunter tossed 5 scoreless innings and had 6 strikeouts to get the win. Easton, do you think that was the best that you've ever seen him throw?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was throwing everything. Especially watching from center field, the movement on his pitches, and with the velo it comes in at, it's definitely, I would not win that bat against that, especially when he throws 7 innings, you got to face it 3-4 times through the lineup.
And Hunter, I was there for that game, and I know your defense helped you out at times. Left fielder Kobe Barons threw a runner out at home in the 3rd inning, and you told me afterwards that you were just trusting your stuff and trusting your defense. You know, did that game do a lot for your confidence, though, because you came back with another strong outing last night?
I would say yes, it definitely helped my confidence. Just knowing that I've got a good team behind me is like a big thing for pitchers, at least me personally. I think my personal confidence is always pretty strong. I have faith in my abilities. But then when you have faith in a team behind you, that's when the team becomes dangerous.
Well, it's got to help to have guys like Easton out there in the outfield to run down those balls, right? Well, let's talk about last night's game. Easton, I know you weren't in the lineup, but I'm sure you could see what was working for Grevengood and probably heard some of your teammates talking about his stuff. What do you think made him so tough to hit?
I mean, his curveball, he was pretty sharp. I think Roma came back in the dugout after one at bat, and he threw a curveball to him that didn't move at all. And then he came back, went a 2-2 count and threw it again, and it kind of, Roman was like, yeah, it was a good pitch, because the first one that moved, that one spun right in and caught the corner. So, I mean, he was just locating later in the game, especially everything. That curveball was moving a lot from the dugout, and that fastball, he was locating it in and out a lot, not throwing it over the middle of the plate from what I could tell.
And Hunter, when you're pitching against a guy like that, you know, that's on top of his game, does that change your mindset at all? Because, you know, the way it turned out, you just couldn't afford to make a mistake, could you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it changes a little bit. It really makes it feel like you need to hit all your spots, adds a little bit of pressure. But nothing too crazy. It's still just kind of like sticking to what I know and what's worked for me in the past.
Well, I know you did give up a solo homer to Colton Remick in the 2nd inning. You know, would you say that pitch was a mistake, or did he just put a good swing on it?
A little bit of both. I mean, I maybe could have shook and threw some off speed there, but at the same time, it wasn't a bad pitch. Lone zone, he put a phenomenal swing on it, so props to him. But That's just kind of a what-if scenario, in my opinion.
Well, Easton, we talked to Coach about your team's upcoming schedule. I'm sure you're anxious to get back in the lineup. You know, do you think we'll see you at some point this week?
I hope to be back tomorrow, but at the end of the day, it's not my decision. And I'm just, whenever I'm available and whatever role it is, I'll be there ready for it. But, yeah.
All right. And Hunter, we talked to Coach about your upcoming conference games and how tight the league is bunched, you know, at the top of the standings. From what you've seen so far this season, you know, who do you think is the best team that you faced this year?
That's tough to say. I mean, that Johnson team, they can hit the ball. They swing it really well. And then that Valley team, they're loaded with pitchers. So it's really, it depends on really who's feeling themselves that day, like just who is willing to have a better day, I guess.
Well, Easton, you're entering the final month of your high school career, and I'm sure you'd like to go out with a bang. You know, do you think this team has the potential to make some noise in the postseason if you can put it all together?
Oh, 100%. We have the guys to do it. If everyone buys into their roles and does their job, then I'm sure we can make it as far as we believe. Yeah.
And Hunter, what do you think will be the key, you know, for this team to reach its potential?
Yeah, just like believing in the guys. I'm surrounded by very good baseball players, and once they can realize that too, just like I do, then I think that we're a very good team.
Well, before I let you guys go, I just wanted to ask you about, you know, your future. Easton, you're headed to Northeast Iowa. What attracted you to that school?
Mainly just being a new program and being able to like maybe like change, like start a program and like lead the way for a start, and just being new to it.
Hunter, of course, you've committed to Indiana State. What attracted you to the Sycamores?
Really good spot. Really like the way they do things over there. And just the program as a whole just feels like it just felt like a very good fit for me.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. You can listen to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. A Legacy Realty would combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa. Local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny baseball coach Joe Ballbans, along with senior outfielder Easton Lowe and junior pitcher Hunter Minner. I appreciate the time from all those gentlemen today. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.